You're listening to sermon audio from Piney Ridge Church. For more sermon audio, or to find out more about Piney Ridge Church, go to pineyridgechurch.org or exaltequipengage.com.
Have you ever just had that feeling of anticipation, that you're on the brink of new growth or just exciting new things? That's actually the way I feel about our church. And it's not just something I woke up this morning feeling. I've been feeling it for several months, and it's not out of nowhere. God has been producing this excitement in me by several different things, just by the revived and new sense and constantly refocusing atmosphere of our weekly pastors' meetings as elders, of being God making me excited about how he's leading me to pray lately, and by what I see in several different people's lives in our church, how God is working in them and on them and through them, and how that's a contagious thing. I'm excited. And I think another thing that I would say makes me excited is this sermon series through the Sermon on the Mount. Because of what I believe the message is and what God will do through it. So I'm going to ask if you would just join me in prayer this morning that God would continue this work and help us to be hopeful and excited about him. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak today. Help us to be hopeful, believing that you want to speak and that you are up to something good for your people. And you are still active and involved in this world in great ways. You are not finished with us. And you have plans, God, to do things that we can't even understand. I pray that you would move us and change us and save us and glorify your name through this whole series, starting with this morning. We pray this, trusting in your grace and in your power because of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's actually one more thing that's making me really excited and hopeful this morning, anticipating good things to come that God is going to be doing and that he's already doing. And that would be something that's helping produce this is the condition of our culture. That might seem weird to you, considering that the condition of our culture is such that there is a senseless destruction of human life in the womb and even partially out of the womb. And then selling of organs of babies, and then that's being defended or downplayed by many. Our culture is in such a condition that in some states in America, you can be 15 years old without your parents' consent or even knowledge and get a full gender reassignment surgery provided by the U.S. government. Our culture is in such the condition that ex-athletes want to become ex-men, and then we celebrate that as brave. Our culture is in such a condition that what has been nearly universally held as a belief throughout nearly all of human history across the globe, concerning marriage and homosexuality, is now all of a sudden turned upside down to be considered immoral and unloving. Our culture is in such a condition that cigarette sales are on the decline, but drug sales are on the incline, especially with synthetic drugs and heroin in the St. Louis area. And suicide is on an increasing rate, especially among teenagers. And it's not only that, but it's being defended as a right by some groups, and many are saying that it should be legalized to have physician-assisted suicide for nearly all ages. And there's more. The reality is, our culture is in such a condition that with very great pride of self-rule and independence, our culture is defending and promoting and celebrating the very things that God explicitly forbids. Truly, it is becoming more and more anti-Christ, anti-Christian all of the time. And so why in the world would I say that this present anti-Christian trend of our culture is being used to help produce excitement and hopeful anticipation in me? Because I believe that God is up to something in it. I believe that God is actually highlighting the contrast between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world in this time. And I believe that when we see this sharp contrast between these two kingdoms, one kingdom will look upside down and the other one right side up, depending upon which kingdom you're in. But either way, there will be a distinction made. There will be a separation, a clear separation. And what this does is it sets up the church of Christ to be more potent salt and to be much brighter light in an ever-decaying and ever-darkening world. And this is precisely what Jesus shows us in the Sermon on the Mount. And yet he goes even further. In these three chapters of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, Jesus not only shows us the contrast between how those outside the world live, outside the church live, and how he calls us to live, that contrast, but even more so, he calls us to see a very clear, distinct, immovable line between how many religious and spiritual people think they are to live and following God in their disguised arrogance, and what it really means to humbly live for Jesus as King. If you're not there yet, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. If you got one of the Bibles from the back, it's page 525. Matthew chapter 5. And if you turn to verse 20, you see Jesus and he says this, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." He says, not only must your righteousness be different than those who are, you know, atheist and secularist and humanist and you know, those wicked people. Your righteousness must be better than that of the religious leaders of our time. And then in chapter 6, he says, because these are like hypocrites. Don't be like them. They want to be seen as good rather than actually be good. They want to be seen as practicing their righteousness and as saying their prayers and as giving gifts and fasting and being spiritual and religious. He says, don't be like that. Because in chapter 7, he says, theirs is a false service and a false conversion. And then therefore, they have a false entrance into my kingdom. So don't be like that. What Jesus is doing, I think, in this is, as he is King overall, without exception, whether we believe in him or not, he is King. What he's saying, though, is that because of this, he is telling us that there is a clear distinction in our culture and in the church between those who are truly a part of his kingdom and those who are not. So this morning, it doesn't really matter if you are truly following Christ or not. This message is for all of us. It's for every one of us. In fact, look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 25, the last verse of chapter 4 of Matthew. And it says, "And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan." And then it says, "Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down," that's what rabbis do when they're about to teach. They sit down, and then the disciples, what does it say? His disciples came to him so that he could teach them. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, who did he teach? He taught them. Did he teach just the disciples? Well, he saw the crowds. The great crowds were gathered around. He saw them there, and he still began to teach. I think that he's teaching both the disciples and the crowds. You can see that in the content throughout this sermon, and especially it's abundantly clear in the very last two verses as Matthew concludes the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 28 and 29. Matthew 7, 28, it says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." He was teaching his disciples because they were around him, but he was also teaching the crowds. So Jesus was preaching both to those who came to him and were submitting to him as their authoritative teacher and to those who were just merely curious about him. So too, over these next 6 or so months, we are going to be preaching his message every week to a mixed crowd, to people who love Jesus and to those who aren't even sure if they like him and everyone in between. This message is for everyone. But let me warn you of something. You might be tempted to look at this sermon, or some might, as merely a description of what it means for, you know, for Christians, or even maybe just some Christians, to live as if Jesus were King. But in reality,